Abedazel says in Teda Kuftes, referred to Teda Kuftes, Abedazel spoke to a person who felt very distant from a sincerity in religion. He felt himself slipping. This happens to many. Of course, it's not a bad sign. It's not bad when a person feels badly that he's slipping. He feels that he's weakening. He's not doing as good as he should. The real tragedy is when a person stops feeling that, Chas V'Shalom. That means that his heart has stopped beating, his spiritual heart. When he stops feeling that he's doing bad, that's a sign of a glissus, one who's about to pass away. As long as he feels he's doing badly, he feels that he's weakening, he's slipping, that's a sign at least that he's alive, he's vibrant. He can pull himself up. Of course, it means that he is having yenidas. He is falling away, he is wandering, he's straying. Question is, how to save himself? So one of Rabbeinazal's Talmidim once came and bemoaned this fact to Rabbeinazal. He felt very badly. He's suffering with this painful thought that he tried hard to improve himself, to be more religious, to learn more, to daven better, but he felt a lethargy, sort of a laziness. He felt himself slipping away. What can he do about this? Rabbeinazal said, and that's what this Teda is based on, Teda Kuftes, Rabbeinazal said there is a key. When a person finds himself slipping away, there are two chains. And nobody can escape these two chains, one of the two chains. A person is either chained to the path of goodness, or he is chained to the path, meaning the origin, the mukkah, the root of evil. One of the two. There's no in-between. A Jew lives either doing a mitzvah or committing a sin. Even if he's asleep, he's doing good or bad. Even if he doesn't speak, he's either doing a mitzvah or he's abstaining from doing one. Especially if he does an actual sin, Chas V'Shalom, then it's understood. Now, by a person doing a sin, Chas V'Shalom, he becomes chained, tied to this rope or chain of evil. A person doing a mitzvah becomes chained to the one of goodness. It is possible for a person to be drawn from one to the other, momentarily. Doing a mitzvah, he swings over to the mitzvah side. The sin swings to the evil side. And of course, one of them, depending upon the average amount of mitzvahs or sins that he does, one of these has a more powerful hold upon him. Now, if a person feels himself slipping, doing wrong, then he should know that this chain of evil held by the Satan, Satan means the Malach HaMoves, the Yitzhara, evil forces, the Klipos in heaven, to which he has attached himself. This is a very destructive type of chain. How can a person break that chain and become attached simultaneously to the chain of goodness? There is one Eitzah that is all revealed, and that is the Eitzah of Anocha. Anocha means to sigh. Person goes, takes a deep breath, the sigh of Oy, a Jewish krechts. Yiddish is called a krechts, oi. This oi, if it is a sincere one, person pauses, thinks, where am I? What am I doing? How can I do this to myself, to my neshama? How can I allow myself to stray, to wander away from my true goal, and to attach myself to taivas, to evil desires, to sins? He thinks about it, he takes a deep breath, and he goes, oi. That oi, Abedal says, with that he actually severs his connection with his chain of evil, and is immediately taken up by the chain of goodness. A person who concentrates very deeply will find, test it, the time when he feels himself thinking bad thoughts. Do this with sincerity, this oi, and will find that he has actually broken that hold over himself. If there's a heat of desire for sin, that sigh will find has cooled off that heat. This is actual and physical. This is the power of anocha. But the Gemara Ksuba says also that anocha shevedes, anocha can actually break a person physically,
could break half of his body, whole body, Lelcha Asai, can actually break a person physically, which means it weakens him, according to the Gemara. Here it means to break him away from where he is, and to attach him anew to the chain of goodness. This is why you will find that in Shemoneh Esrei, on the breast of the law, or in Tefillah in general, especially in Spedidus, the Bezos followers have the custom of that oi. Sometimes in thinking, meditation, they come out with a very deep-throated oi. Some of them have built-in PA systems. But this, you can hear this roar through the whole yeshiva. And so especially, you get so with that oi where the building actually rocks. I once heard this, we could mention this, the Bayachayim Shlita. Bayachayim, of course, is the essence of purity, of sincerity, of Mimas, Tzadikimus of today. He once told, frankly, about an experience that he himself had. Of course, he was always a Tzadik before his marriage, too. He spent his life in Uman, Nida Ben Azalsian, Kedusha, Batala. He went for a Shidduch. There was a recommendation for a Shidduch. And of course, a Shidduch means he went to the house of a certain important member of the community, a Talmud Chacham, Bas Talmud Chacham. He came to this house, and there he spent the evening speaking to the potential father of the Kala, potential father-in-law. And then, this was in a strange city, so they gave him a room to sleep in. He went to this room, and he had his benedis, and subconsciously, without thinking, he just let out with an oi, without realizing that others are listening too. But when a person is that sincere, it is such a deep, heartfelt sigh. It comes so deeply from the heart, as though the whole person is just broken up. The next morning, he was told in very clear terms to leave. We don't want somebody who's sick for a chassid. They felt that this was came from a sick person, such a sigh, thing like that. He must be ill. And there was no way he could convince them, because had he explained the real reason, they would have been much worse. So he decided to remain silent, and of course, Baruch Hashem, it turned out for the best, actually. But this is the advantage of Anocha. Anocha sighing, and of course, again, while we're on the topic, we want to bring out a certain item which is very controversial, discussed a lot today, just so because this was a deep discussion in Uman, Ben Azal's shul in Uman. The sighing and the other types of noisemaking during davening by those who mean well, of course, there's the sighing, the krechs, the oy, the mouth, the clapping, and so forth. All these are fine, they are advisable. Ben Azal said that this should be done. However, the question is, should this be done to extremes where it might interfere with someone else's kavanas? Person who's davening, his mind is deeply absorbed in business during his davening, he doesn't want to be disturbed. Or even, let's say, those few who daven with true kavana, and then they really put their heart into the tefillah, and suddenly they're awakened with a shock because somebody gave out a scream, and it disrupts their train of thought. Those, of course, who have heard this will understand. Those who haven't couldn't get the picture in its true sense. Now, there was this case, a true case in Uman, where Reb Shimshon Zal, during the time of Rekochav Lev Zal, this was during the year, Rekochav Lev Zal was there, the head of the Shishona. Shimshon Zal, during the year, was looked up to as the leader. And in the front of the shul, there was one person, Talmud, who davened with what was known as Mishuna Dikakailis. Very strange type of sounds. There's different, various types of oi, the screams and motions and movements. The noises were ones that simply made it impossible for anyone else in the shul to concentrate on davening. And this man stood right next to Reb Shimshon Zal. So the people, the Talmidim, came to Reb Shimshon Zal and asked him, how do you stand it? Why did you tell him to stop? Do something. So his reply was, this is the story as told. His reply was, he disturbs me as much as he disturbs you, definitely, but I'm afraid to say a word to him, because what if he is really sincere? All those sounds come sincerely from the depth of his heart. How would I dare to go and to stop a person of dreamers? You never know what's valuable in the eyes of Hashem. There are stories in the Talmud of Izal where a shepherd who made strange sounds and whistling, he served Hashem with a whistle, or who made strange statements. But in the eyes of Hashem, it was precious because it was with sincerity. This was worth more than the biggest tzaddikim's type of tefillahs. How can I take a chance to stop him if he has possibly such deep sincerity with these strange sounds he makes? Strange cries, wild cries. This is the story, and therefore he refused to stop him. Is this point that we once asked about, we wouldn't doubt the veracity of the story. Well, we have a kasha on it. Well, this kasha, I mentioned it just now, and I haven't heard a tenets for it yet. In other words, should there exist a person today who decide to take that path and start these, take up the cudgel with these strange noises, well, we have a message for that person. If, as was stated, the possibility that that person's cries are due to a true sincerity on his part, true kavona, he really means it sincerely, but not because he wants to be ostentatious, to show off, to show his superiority, or to say, look at me, how good I am. But he means it sincerely as a means of communication with Hashem by having the cry come from the depth of his soul. If that is the truth, then let that person answer this question. If you really mean it that sincerely, in all sincerity, in goodness and in modesty, then why do you feel that your davening is worth more in the eyes of heaven than the tefillahs of all the rest of the people in the shul whom you are depriving from davening? If you're really that sincere, then you will gear your sincerity towards helping others, towards cooperating with others too. Let others daven also. Others too are sincere. So not to be selfish in that your sincerity outweighs and outshines and is worth more than all the rest of the people combined. So if that person is sincere, then it would pay to have told him about this, to have asked him to cooperate, to sympathize with others too. In any event, of course, that was an exceptional case. There are a number of exceptional cases today that you know too. I don't know how sincere they are, but they surely are as noisy. That is why, to this day, we have never advocated going literally wild with noises and oys, but surely when a person has bitterness, the anocha, the sigh, could definitely help him tear himself away from the force of evil, from tumah, become viksha, bound to the chevel, the rope, the chain of kedusha, of holiness. This anocha should come from the depth of the soul, should be loud, loud and clear, so loud that it should travel not just across the room, but across the entire length and breadth of the world. The Bnei Zal taught us a person can scream, that their voice can travel throughout the entire width, the entire area of the earth up to heaven, without being heard by anyone else. It is something that can be controlled, contained within the person, a scream within the person's mind alone, not to leave the person's mind. You can hear it in your mind. It has the very same effect as though it came from the throat without hurting anyone else. This is the kayach of anocha, with which a person can truly disattach himself from tumah and klipa, attach himself to kedusha. This, again, is totally in the advice of the tzaddik emes and the emunah. We should be zecher to be emes, fulfill these words of advice of Rabbi Nezor, to follow this sagacious advice and be truly attached the emes, betrimus, to the tzaddik emes, thereby be zecher to tov, all these eitzes teves, The ultimate toiv is seeing with our eyes the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, who will lead all Jews back from the darkness of evil, the darkness of sin, to the light of Hashem in Atzeinu HaGdisha, and will have the Shechina of Hashem revealed through the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Amen. Amen.